You're listening to the Exhibit Report Podcast, episode number 10. The Exhibit Report Podcast is your source for insights, tips, and ideas on how to increase revenue by marketing your business in live events. You know, events like home and garden shows, boat shows, RV shows, outdoor events, and more. I'm your host, Gary Neidert. Welcome to today's episode, an interview with Cindy Hamm. This is an interview that I did, that I recorded in March of 2010. I found this in my interview archives, and I thought this would be something you would be interested in and that you would get a lot of good tips and ideas from. So that's why I wanted to replay this today. Originally, I was going to be talking about beware of crabs, but I felt like this would be something better to do to wind up the year with. We have one more episode that's going to play the last week of this month, but I thought you would enjoy this interview a little bit more than beware of crabs. So who is Gary Neidert? Since 1992, I've worked with home improvement companies, helping them to market their business in live events, specifically the Dallas Home and Garden Show, the Fort Worth Home and Garden Show, the Texas Home and Garden Show Houston, the Texas Home and Garden Show Las Colinas, as well as some other shows that we've had in the past. I've been married for over 22 years, same wife, father, one daughter, who is a social media rock star. She works for a major nonprofit organization based in Dallas, and she is the one that heads up their social media program. My grandfather, my grandson will be 5 years old in February, and my granddaughter just turned 2 years old just a few days ago. I'm a podcaster. Some of my hobbies, I like to read about marketing. I like developing YouTube videos, and I have a Honda Trail 90, which I keep saying that I'm going to fix up. It's in the garage. This was a motorcycle my dad had. It was passed on to me, so I've got to get out there and tinker with it and get it back running again. When I was in college, I enjoyed getting junk mail or direct mail. I enjoyed that. That was the highlight of my day. I go to the mailbox and I find this stuff that's addressed to me, and I thought it was fascinating people were able to sell stuff, whether it be products or services, by mail. I thought it was so cool. Since then, I've been a student of direct response marketing, and I've applied the marketing principles to selling exhibit space, as well as working with clients as they exhibit in home and garden shows. Now, why am I doing this podcast? I want to inspire, I want to encourage you to go beyond your comfort zone and help you achieve more success. We're going to do this together because after the first of the year, I'm going to be doing something that will really stretch me, and I'll let you know more about that after the first of the year. I want to inform. I want to give you some ideas and tips about how to market your business in live events, along with general marketing tips. I want to teach what I've learned about marketing ideas and exhibiting. And hopefully there'll be some entertainment value with this. Sometimes there'll be some bad jokes or Garyisms, as my daughter and son-in-law calls them. And what's really bad about them is they're bad jokes, and I'll laugh at them because I know they're so bad. Well, let's get on with the interview with Cindy Hamm. Again, this was in March of 2010 when I recorded this interview, and at the time of the interview, she was working with a company called Dallas Bath & Glass. They still are in business and doing very well from what I understand. They install the shower glass in bathrooms, and they have been an exhibitor in the Dallas Home and Garden shows. Great guys. Currently, Cindy works as a realtor for Premier Legacy Real Estate, and she is she also works a program called Home for Heroes. And Cindy, just a really smart lady. I have a lot of respect for what she does. I think that you'll really enjoy this. In the interview, Cindy will be giving some tips that can help you, as a small business, be successful both in running the business as well as exhibiting in home and garden shows. So get your notepad out, get ready to focus in and listen to what she has to say, because I know you're going to get a lot out of it. So here we go. Take a listen. Cindy, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to give our listeners a few insider business tips.
Thank you, Gary.
First of all, tell me a little bit about yourself, your background, and some of the things that you've done in business.
For the last 13 years, I've been in the decorative concrete business here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, creating insulation, supply houses, and training companies within Dallas-Fort Worth, training contractors on decorative concrete installations.
Now, in the beginning, you had started off as a concrete, you started off as a curbing company, and then it developed into the staining concrete and then on into the other stuff. So you've slugged it out, so to speak, from very humble beginnings.
We started out as a curbing company in the Dallas area, yeah. And yes, very humble. I was on the crew for a long time, sledging concrete, as you would say, and in the trenches learning the concrete industry before I actually started running the company and running the installation crews and moving upward and onward toward that.
Yeah, so you've seen it from the very, very beginning, and you've seen what to do as well as what not to do.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and get to our first question. Let's start with marketing a business. I've watched you through the years, and you know how to market a business. You've done it very well. And what are the top three mistakes that you see companies make when they advertise and market their business?
I think one of the biggest things that I see is a company will put all their eggs in one basket, and they'll go for a marketing idea that will cost upwards of thousands of dollars and not really mention or market their company. They'll not name brand who they are.
Mm-hmm.
One ad will say one thing, and the next ad will say another thing, instead of consistency and knowing that it takes three times for someone to see their name and logo and web address before they recognize who they are.
Now, are you talking about just staying with one type of advertising, or are you for doing multiple types of advertising and marketing platforms?
Both. I actually believe in starting out with one singular ad form at first to mm-hmm. get familiar with what you're going to do. You have to really know who you are as a company to know how you're going to advertise that company. And a lot of times they will start out and they'll do the yellow pages and they'll do trade shows and they'll do print ads and they'll do everything that they can think of, but every single ad looks different. So when that customer or potential customer looks at that ad, they don't realize they're looking at the same company. So my suggestion is to start out with one form of advertising and really understand who your company is and who you want it to be as a company, and then move on to multiple advertising revenues and continue in that same line.
Is that something that it takes a while to figure out as a company, or is it something that going into the business, you know, all right, this is who we are, this is what we do, and this is the direction we're going to go in advertising? Or do you have to kind of find your way for a little bit?
You have to find your way, and the best way to do that is listen to your customers. How did your customer find you that you're working on that day? How did your customer that you have on the schedule tomorrow find you? Listen to what they're asking you. Do you do this? Do you do that? Is there a new market that you're not looking at or expanding what you're in right now? And, you know, how do they hear about you? Did they hear about you from another contractor? Did they hear about you through an ad that you placed, through another customer? They'll tell you where to market. They'll tell you how to market. And you have to know who you are as a company in the beginning and what your values are to move forward with that as well.
So it comes back to knowing who you are and where you want to go, but also knowing your clientele. Now,
yes.
Now, does that change along the way? In what you've done over the last few years, have you noticed that as you got started in your advertising and marketing, you knew the direction of the company, and did that
cause the type of client that you're looking for to change or evolve?
Absolutely. I think that you have to, there's several factors that you have to look at. First of all, what type of customer are you looking for? Where are they located? What age-specific demographic they're in, and where you can find those. That's one aspect. Economic value, obviously, with everything going on with our economic downturn. People stop buying on a random basis, and it's more meticulated, and they really think out the process of what they're going to buy. It doesn't necessarily mean that they stop buying. They're just more conscious of what they're buying. Mm-hmm. And you have to listen to that. And so as you're rolling along in your marketing campaigns, obviously it takes three times for them to see you, to recognize who you are, mm-hmm. and recognize you're what they want. And that's important. Mm-hmm. You want them to know this is what you want and you have to have it. But after the third time of them seeing that advertisement, if it's not working, if it's not drawing them in, you need to reevaluate and say, well, what about this ad or this promotional item that I'm using doesn't work? And just listen. Again, it's all about listening to your customer, because that customer who you have that day found you some way. And you have to listen to that, key into it, and then expand on it.
Now, have you done any formal surveys with your clients in the past, or is it just as you're talking to them, you know, whenever they call in or at the job, just, you know, an informal survey with them?
We've always, always made an informal survey with our customers, because if you don't know where you're spending your marketing dollar and where and if it's working for you, mm-hmm. then it's basically throwing that marketing dollar in the trash. So every time a customer calls my company and they're wanting to set an appointment or make a purchase, we've always asked them, where did you hear about us? And if they said internet, we want to expand on that, because we have several different things going on online. Was it a direct search? Was it a paid search? Mm-hmm. Did they find us in Google? Did they find us MSN? Mm-hmm. We really drill down and go, where did you find us?
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Do you see other businesses around and that you come in contact with, the you know, some of the other suppliers, the contractors, are they doing this kind of thing?
I think it's about 50-50. I think some of them just fly and just kind of determine what they're going to do the next day, honestly. And they're not in business in 6 months. But you are seeing companies out there that are being more logistic about how they're spending. They're paying more attention of how they look when they go into a customer's home, how they present themselves on the phone, mm-hmm. how they present their employees, and basically how their final job is. Those companies that are lasting are realizing it's not about that first phone call that sells the job. It's really about that first phone call to the end of the job completion and having them be a repeat customer or send somebody else your way.
The complete experience.
It is
from start to finish.
It is the complete experience, yeah. From start to finish, and they're realizing that.
Yeah.
And I think that's coming from people who are sitting down and not necessarily with a marketing background, but thinking about how they would buy something, mm-hmm. and what their experience would be with a contractor versus someone jumping in a truck and go, I'm going to be a contractor today.
Do you see the consumer as more educated than what they were 10 years ago in what they want and what they understand about the home improvement process?
Absolutely. I mean, 10 years ago, I did have customers. Like I said, you have to listen to your customers. Mm-hmm. And I had customers asking me for concrete countertops before I knew what a concrete countertop was and before I believed that they would even put it in their house. But yet I was smart enough to listen to them to understand that's where it was going, mm-hmm. and that happened to be a lucrative business for me. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that the customer is more educated with the internet and every means possible of just picking up information. They read it in the doctor's office. They are searching for it on their smartphones. We are a technological, geeky society. And I absolutely think that sometimes your customer will know more about a product than you do if you don't offer that product. But you need to make sure that when they call you about that product, you've heard about it, mm-hmm. and you learn about it really fast.
How can you take that? I know that some people in the past have said they've almost taken that and made it a disadvantage that the consumer knows more now. How can that be turned to an advantage to what you do in terms of marketing your business, where the consumer is more educated about the process, more educated about the product? How can a business person do that and turn that to their advantage?
I think if you don't care enough about your company to educate yourself on new techniques or upcoming events, then you're going to be at a disadvantage and you're going to be a company that doesn't succeed. Mm-hmm. You have to care enough about your industry to always want to learn more than your customer. And that's putting us on the cusping edge of everything, because that means every single day we have to pick up a tool to advance ourselves, to go into associations and to be a part and a membership of groups to grow, mm-hmm. which that gives us the leading edge of the customer, because they don't have that capability of being in those groups and in those associations.
So you're in a place where you always have to be learning. Always.
Always. Yeah. Every single day I have to pick up something and learn something about the company that I'm working with in order to understand their industry.
Keeps you fresh.
Absolutely. If you don't learn something every day, then why do you have this day?
Yeah, keeps you on your toes. Well, what tools would you recommend for a small to medium-sized business to use to help them to be more efficient and more profitable? I mean, whether it's inside the office or their marketing or even out in the field.
They do have to have a plan of action. They do have to have a flow, a customer flow chart within their company. They have to know what happens from that customer from the time that they answer the phone to the time that it's installed. And if they don't have a flow chart or a flow system within that company, whether it's one person or five people, then they're not going to understand the process that that customer goes through to get installed.
Could you recommend one or two tools that they could do that with?
They could actually use. They could easily go into a Word document and create step one, answer phone. Step two, schedule. It's as easy as that.
Yeah.
And then as your company grows, you can expand those into job requirements, or if you're looking for a new person, a job description, because ultimately as your company grows, those steps are going to ultimately be a job description within your company. Mm-hmm. So the first tool that they need to understand is the flow of the customer going through their company. The second thing that I would suggest is they have to have some sort of literature to explain to the customer what they do. And if they don't have that, it's one of the old forms of advertising is print, but print works. Mm-hmm. People who have a brochure, a flyer, a business card, a postcard, anything that has your name, address, and a picture on it brings more attention to them than just a sign they see with your name and phone number on it. It gives them more of a visual of what you do. So basically any type of literature that gives them that.
Something that's portable that they can physically touch and take with them in their car, or they throw it in the car and they pick it up later on, or at home they pick it up, or even if it's a magazine. And people have all kinds of bathroom reading material. And so I'm understanding that's what you're talking about, something that's portable that has a very, very, very long shelf life.
Absolutely visual of what you do. A customer will understand, for example, what concrete is, but they may not necessarily understand what decorative concrete is.
Yeah.
So unless you give that customer a visual of what you do, they don't understand your business. And it has to be of a substantial value for them to keep it. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to give them a water bottle because they're going to drink the water and throw the bottle away.
Exactly.
You want to give them something that is value to them that they're going to keep. So you want to have information that is about your company. You want to have pictures about your company. So when they see that, they recognize the value of something that they need that they want to keep.
Show and tell.
Absolutely.
The elements of the printed piece, is there one thing that you would have is more prominent than the other? Let's say maybe list them in order of importance?
If I had a budget, which everybody has a budget, wish I didn't have a budget. In budgeting for my marketing materials, I always, the very first thing, even in the 21st century, I budget for business cards. Mm-hmm. Because it's a great way to network with other business professionals and what you do. And they have something that they can actually take back. And they may look at it on their desk before they put it in their iPhone or BlackBerry, but they're going to touch it a couple times before they enter it in. So mm-hmm. that's going to help them remember you.
Now, on the business cards, do you like the ones that has pictures on them? Or would you rather do the ones that just has your company information, phone number, and email address?
I do not like the ones that have pictures on them. And
why?
The reason why is because when you give a business card, you're usually giving a business card to a business professional. Mm-hmm. You're meeting them wherever. Soccer, you're at a networking event. They, if they're anything like me, it's business. They want to know your name, your phone number, and what you do. The picture does not make the difference when it comes to business cards. Mm-hmm. Yes, your logo makes a difference because you want to recognize your logo. Mm-hmm. But really and truly, a simple business card on a heavy stock paper is amazing versus one that's flowered up but mm-hmm. has a picture of a beach on it. And I say a beach because I've seen several travel brochures.
Yeah.
And we see travel business cards, and it's really funny because if you see the word travel, you know it's somewhere outside of your home, and mm-hmm. it's not across the street. So why would you need a beach on that postcard?
Yeah. In the shows, we've got the three-second rule. You got to be able to tell people with your booth who you are, what you do, and why they need to stop and talk with you. And I'm starting to see that three-second rule, not just at shows, but like you said, the business card, literature, website, whatever, you've got to catch people's attention very, very quickly and engage them or you lose them.
You know, when I'm creating a brochure, there are two types of brochures. There is a journal that you can read all day long and not get any information about it. Or there is a picture brochure. And I have found when it comes to brochures, pictures work great. Mm-hmm. If you're selling a product, they want to know what product you sell, mm-hmm. and you want them to get enough information about that product to call you and ask more questions.
But not too much that they get confused.
Right. You don't yeah. want to give them all the information that they don't pick up the phone and call
yeah.
you. You want them to give just enough tease to go, wow, I really want that, mm-hmm. and I need to learn more about it.
Mm-hmm.
And first thing they're going to do is go online and look at your website. So obviously your website needs to have a little bit more meat into it. But again, still not so much meat that they don't contact you.
Yeah.
But it's a tease.
Yeah.
It's like show them what you can give. Show them your best. Give them a little bit of information so that they seek more and then they seek you.
Boy, that's good information. Everybody needs to know this stuff.
Thank you.
Do you have any other ideas? Any other tools that you would recommend for people to use in developing and growing their small business?
Again, business cards, brochures. The third thing I would say that is a must-have, and this is in the first 30 days of your business, is a webpage.
Yes.
People do not understand the value of the internet. The yellow pages still works. It's just the yellow pages online. It's not the yellow pages anymore that your child sits on to eat dinner. Because then if they sit on the computer, then you'd be really upset.
Mm.
But they don't understand the value of the internet. My mother, my grandmother are on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And social networking is huge.
Yes. My mother's 79. I think she'll be 80 this year. And she spends most of her day on the computer now with Facebook, emails, and just looking around on the internet. 3 years ago, I would never have thought that. She uses the internet to look up products and services for what she wants to use. I never thought that 3 years ago.
It's an amazing tool. And just like you said, your mother uses this. It has opened up the next generation of our consumer because that customer has realized they can't find what they need in the Yellow Pages anymore, so they have to seek it elsewhere. And they feel more comfortable. They feel more comfortable with a company that they can feel in touch and get comfortable with on their own time and learn about you and who you are and what you do, and then call you. Because there was a lack of trust there for several years. And I think the internet was a scary, dark place for a long time. But I think that this genre of people have come to realize it's a nurturing, safe business place now, if that makes any sense at all.
Absolutely.
And they feel more comfortable with the company that is putting themselves out on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and all of these other social networks, and even on Yellow Pages, not to give advertisement to any of these people, but they feel like if they're, as a company, putting themselves out there multiple areas, and then they're able to call them, they feel more comfortable that it's a dual-faced company.
Something that I've noticed over the last two, three, 4 years is the use of video online. And I'm seeing video as an opportunity to develop that trust faster. Because if someone has video on their website and using video not as a sales pitch necessarily, but as an opportunity to say, hey, you know, here's what we're doing. This is a job that we did over here in Terrell, and here's what it looked like before, and here's what it looks like now. And it took us, you know, 3 days to get this accomplished, and you know, it was a pleasure working with the homeowner on this, and they seemed to enjoy working for us. And I'm seeing that develop as a way to create that trust, to create a sense of knowing who the person is on the that they're watching on the internet. And we didn't have that 5 years ago when the internet was a little bit more scary than it is now. It's become a commonplace. So that's just my personal thing of video. I'm real adamant about using video on the internet.
Gary, it's really funny that you said video, because I have two thoughts about video on the internet, and one of them is completely different than the other. And I've actually done some research and some surveys on this with different contractors in the Dallas area of what they thought about video. And most of them, when you ask them about video online, they say it's annoying, because they automatically assume, if you go onto YouTube and things of that nature, you've got to watch a commercial first. And they first think, I don't want to watch a commercial, I just want to watch the video. Well, then you explain to them that you're not talking about a video that's streamlined through another website. You're actually talking about video that's streamlined through their website, and it's them talking to their customers.
Exactly. And on even YouTube, you can set up your own channel on YouTube. I've got two different channels that I run videos through, and I only do videos that pertain to what I'm doing with the home and garden shows. There's no commercials, but YouTube provides the code that can be put into a website where that comes up on the website. There's several different ways to do video on a website. You can do it through YouTube, or you can have it hosted. And there's pros and cons for each. But anyway, you continue on with your other thought on the video.
Well, the video that I'm talking about is in the form of a YouTube video. And people go, oh, well, no one goes out there and searches YouTube and blah, blah, blah. There are 50% of people who do not search on YouTube. You ask them what YouTube is, and they're clueless. But what happens and what they don't understand is those get indexed out into our World Wide Web.
Absolutely.
And it helps index who you are as a company, which takes thousands of dollars to do if you pay someone to do it. Or you can do it as easy as creating a video with your company's name on it and indexing it through the web, and you will be amazed at the site hits that you get, the site traffic, just from that one video, because it's a tease, it's a curiosity. Well, what does this company actually do, and how can they help me?
Yeah.
So you have to turn it around and give it a different spin and go, you know, I'm not going to use this in the black and white terms as advertisement, but I'm going to use this to promote my company and get them to my website.
Right. What I'm seeing is that it's the company is providing some good information about the project. It's an educational process for the consumer with an opportunity to say, if you'd like more information, if you have any questions about what we're doing, feel free to give us a call, no obligation. So there's the, I think it's really coming up with the educational process, and that there again, that allows the consumer to become more familiar with the individual company, whoever the spokesperson might be for that company. There's a guy that there are two different guys that I follow after with the video and the marketing on the internet. And this one guy made the comment, he was doing audio. He was doing audio programs on the internet. He was at a restaurant. This lady recognized his voice and almost accosted him because she recognized his voice, and it freaked him out. But it was a good thing because she recognized him. It had developed the trust that she had in him as a marketer just because of that little connection. I've heard it go the same thing with video. So another guy said, yeah, I've had people that say, I've watched your videos on the internet, and I like you, and I want to do business with you. So
it's pretty scary. I mean, you're putting yourself out there in more ways than you really think you're putting yourself out there, but it is a trust factor. And yeah. I've had many people, in fact, we've created 4 videos over the last 14 years. And my husband was walking across an airport in New Jersey, and a lady came up to him and said, I just watched your video.
See there?
And it freaked him out just a little bit. But, you know, then he came to terms with it and said, well, did you like it? And, you know, right there in the middle of the airport, kind of gave her some tips and tricks that weren't on the video. But it was really kind of funny because that's exactly what happened. She felt that she had developed such a relationship with her video, which sounds strange, but they connect with it because you're showing them what to do.
Yeah.
And so it's
they relate. Gives them the visual part of relating to you as a company.
I've talked to people for years on the phone that I've never met. And finally, when I meet them, they go, wow, I've known you for years. And they have. But not in a personal way, as they would recognize me in an airport, but they would recognize me based on my voice.
That's actually happened to me, and I never would have thought anybody would have recognized the Home and Garden Show guy, but there was a guy from Chicago I met at an internet conference, and I told him what I did with the videos, and, oh, yeah, I thought your voice and your face looked familiar. I went, you got to be kidding. So I don't know if he was really being honest or if he was just feeding me a line because he was trying to sell something. But
anyway. No, Gary, that's why you did the voiceover on my videos, because you have that distinct voice.
Oh, let's see. Let's go back to the marketing of a business. Let's say we have someone listening that wants to advertise and market their business. What would you recommend as step one, step two, and step three to ramp up their marketing?
Step one, to get a brochure and to get it out in the hands of the public. Means of doing that is as simple as everyone you know, pass out a brochure, walk the neighborhoods. As simple as just getting it into the hands of others. Two, making sure that everything that you pass out has your webpage on it so that if you're not there, your webpage can answer the questions for them until it's time for you to open your company the next day. That's important. Most of our clients do not realize that they shop for your business at 2:00 in the morning. Mm-hmm. When you're asleep and when your company is not working for you, your webpage is working for you 24/7. So to get your internet up and going is really more important before you get your doors open for business is to get your business online and get it where it needs to be. So your look, your professional look. And, you know, to get out into the public, to do the trade shows, to do civic events, to work within your community and let your community where you live know what you do. That is one of the most important things that you can do, because if you live in a community and you've got an opportunity of 100,000 people, even a smaller community of 10, 15, 20,000 people, if one person knows what you do, then 150 people are going to know what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And 150 people is going to grow into, you know, 500 to 1,000 people. So work in your community, do local events and local charities. Just really be active. The first year, it's so important for you to talk about your company every single day to at least 10 to 15 different people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, then you're going to get your business in front of other people. Trade shows are great. They're the hardest thing that you'll ever do. And some people love them and some people hate them. And some people hate to do them, but some people love to hate to do them.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that love to hate to do them are the ones that make the money.
Mm-hmm.
Because they put the most vested interest into their booth, into their customer relations with those people that are walking by, and then they get the benefit from those customers at the end of the show.
Now, we'll kind of take a little trail here off of that. I mean, obviously, I do the home and garden shows, and you've been doing the shows with me for many, many years now. What would you, if somebody did want to do one of the home and garden shows, just a couple of minutes, what would you recommend that they do in terms of setting up their booth and working the show?
First of all, do not bring a table and chairs to your booth. There's nothing worse that you can do for a trade show than bring in a table and chairs and sit down in your booth.
Thank you, Cindy. There's too many that do that.
There is too many that does it. And you have to put yourself on the same level as your customer.
Mm-hmm.
And that, one, builds confidence with that customer, that you respect them enough to stand and see them eye level. And then it gives trust. They trust you because they're looking at you eye to eye, contact, versus looking down at you.
Mm-hmm.
It gives your customer power over you when they look down at you.
Mm-hmm.
But when you bring yourself to eye level, you're at the same level with your customer and you have power over your customer.
That's a great point.
So, first of all, no table and chairs.
Yes.
Second of all, you need to think of your booth as a customer experience. What do you do that they're going to use in their home? And how are they going to use that? If you are a landscaper, obviously you want to give a landscape experience and that they're walking through a garden and you have fountains. And our landscapers do a great job with that. Our landscapers are probably the best at the home and garden shows because that's how they display.
Mm-hmm.
They can't display pictures. Pictures do not sell landscape.
Yeah.
They have to sell landscape materials, and they do a great and excellent job at that. The problem that I see is people who sit at a booth with a chair and a table, and they have a picture book, and they said, this is what I do. People want to touch and feel and experience your product. So if you, for instance, sell bathtubs, you need a bathtub
mm-hmm.
in your booth. But do you need a bathtub that looks like it's in a trade show? No. You need a bathtub in the experience that a bathtub would be used.
Where they could almost get in it at the show.
You want them to feel like they are in their bathroom at the show mm-hmm. and that comfortable. That goes from everything from the flooring to the walls to the fixtures to where they're having a full bathroom experience. Now, I don't want working plumbing in this bathroom. But they need to have a full bathroom experience so they can visualize what that product is going to look like in their house.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I do not think works is, for instance, if you are a glazer, a bathtub glazer, and you bring in a tub that's all rusted out,
mm-hmm.
and then you're reglazing half of it and not reglazing it,
mm-hmm.
what that tells the customer is, my bathtub doesn't look like that. So I can't imagine it looking resurfaced.
Mm-hmm.
But if you bring in a moderately used bathtub on your standard bathroom and you reglaze it, they can visualize that.
Mm-hmm.
They can understand that's in my bathroom now.
Yeah.
So you want to make it to where it's more realistic to what they have in their home now. and not to the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Because I see a lot of that. They'll take it to the extreme and then bring it to a brand new surface. And that's hard for them to visualize. But I think making your booth feel comfortable,
mm-hmm.
that they want to walk into it. And that's the key. You don't want someone to walk to the edge of your space and walk away, or stand at the edge of your space and talk to you. You want them to feel comfortable enough to walk into your space and engage into a conversation with you regarding your products. Now, don't stand out in the middle of the aisle, passing your brochures and literature out to everyone that walks by. First of all, that's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, you're wasting marketing dollar because they're going to throw your brochure away.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like if you're attacking them in the aisle at a home show, what are you going to do when you approach them to do a sale at their home? So you want them to feel comfortable. Stand in the middle of your booth, even toward the back of your booth. When people make eye contact to you, hi, how are you today? Be courteous and ask them and listen to what their answer is. There's nothing more annoying than you ask someone how their day is and then you turn and start talking to the person beside you.
Mm-hmm.
So listen to your customers, and that's number one. Listen to your customers. Make your booth feel comfortable. Think of the area that you're portraying. Think of the product that you're demonstrating. If you're demonstrating kitchen utensils, make your area look like a kitchen. It's just as simple and easy as that.
And to me, what I'm hearing is it really comes back to the experience, making them enjoy the experience within that booth, to make it feel like they're experiencing their home, but just redecorated.
Absolutely. You, at a trade show, you have 100, 150 exhibitors. You want that customer, potential customer, to walk into your booth and forget about everything else that's going on around mm-hmm. them. The guy selling the chamois, the guy selling the cleaner, the guy cleaning your shoes. You want them to forget about that and only focus on you.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way to do that.
Well, Cindy, this has been some great information. Thanks again for taking the time to talk with me today. I know our listeners have picked up some good information that will help them make more money. And if they didn't the first time through, they need to listen to this 2, 3, and 4 times, because there was a ton of great information that you had there. So thanks again for being a part of this.
Thanks, Gary, for asking me. It was a pleasure.
I'd recommend someone in their small business that to help them.
Always be professional. One of my key components that I had when I was running my company was always act like you're a Fortune 500 company, whether you're 1 or 2 employees or 5,000. Give the presentation to your customer that you're professional. You present yourself as a professional company, and your customers will be on a higher clientele than most.
Mm-hmm.
And they will only expect professionalism from you, but they'll also give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So just portray yourself as a Fortune 500 company, whether you're 1 or 2 people or 5,000.
Final thoughts.
Have fun.
What a concept.
If you don't love what you do, don't do it, because everyone knows it.
Yeah.
And it shows through.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Great advice. Well, Cindy, this has been some great information. Thanks again for taking the time to talk with me today. I know our listeners have picked up some good information that will help them make more money. And if they didn't the first time through, they need to listen to this 2, 3, and 4 times, because there was a ton of great information that you had there. So thanks again for being a part of this.
Thanks, Gary, for asking me. It was a pleasure.
Okay. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. I enjoyed recording the interview, and I enjoyed listening to the interview again. I mean, I got a lot out of it. So I'm glad I found it in the archives, and I'm glad I was able to share this with you. If you're interested in real estate or talking to Cindy about Homes for Heroes, you can contact Cindy at her website, cindyhamm.com. It's H-A-M-M, and her phone number is 972-679-9129. Again, cindyhamm.com, 972-679-9129. I will have her contact information in the show notes. Also, if you're interested in getting in touch with Dallas Bath & Glass, you can contact Dallas Bath & Glass at 972-524-1429 or go to their website at dallasbathandglass.com. The and is spelled out, dallasbathandglass.com or 972-524-1429. I will have his show. I will have his information in the show notes as well. Some of the future topics that I'll be talking about: beware of crabs. I'm still going to touch on that. It will be after the first of the year. Beware of the shiny object. Beware of big promises, especially from a new show or a new business. Not to say that you shouldn't do business with a new show or a new company, but just make sure that you know what you're getting into going into it. Confessions of a Seasoned Exhibitor. And this will be part of the interviews that I record and share with you as we go forward. Why Home and Garden Shows. Don't sell the job, sell the appointment. Stack the deck in your favor. Market your business in live events and let prospects know you will be at the event. Our next episode, it's going to be an interview that I recorded with Russell Mims of Family Safe of Texas. Russell is a fellow Rockwall resident, and we spent about 45 minutes with the interview, and I've kind of trimmed it down a little bit, but we did this at a restaurant here in Rockwall and had a great time. And you'll notice some of the background sounds, the dishes clanking and all that kind of thing. But it was still a great time. Had a great time listening to him, hearing what he had to say from his background and recommendations for people as they either start a new business or they have a business and they want to grow it, as well as he's got some good exhibiting tips on how to exhibit in a home and garden show or a consumer show. So be on the lookout for this. This will be going live the last week of December, just before New Year's Eve. Hopefully you'll be able to get listen to that before the year's over with, and I think you'll enjoy that. Now, this podcast is made possible by the Texas Home and Garden Show series, my employer. We produce home and garden shows in Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, and Las Colinas. If you're ready to influence your ideal prospect live and in person and face-to-face, contact me about marketing your business in our next series of shows. We'll start in January of 2016 and run through April of 2016 for our spring series. For show information, call me, 972-771-7899. In the near future, you'll be able to find me on Facebook as well as iTunes. I'll let you know when we're live on each one. I've been holding off making these live because I want to make sure I get it right, and I've got to be able to sit down with my social media rock star daughter to get her advice and help on how to make this work and do it right. So be on the lookout for the Facebook and iTunes. Remember, when you're working on your advertising calendar, always consider marketing your business to your prospect at live events, you know, like our home and garden shows. It's your chance to show and sell. Now you can do that, right? Thanks for listening today. I'm Gary Neidert, and you've just experienced the Exhibit Report Podcast.